It's time again for the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective. The Coaching Perspective with Master Certified Business Coach Doug Gefeller. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Paul. Glad to be here in studio today. We've got a great guest and his support.
He's got a whole staff of people.
I mean, when you bring your wife along, is that a groupie? Is that a staff? I mean, how do we describe that? We have Adam.
I like the fact she's telling him to sit up straight and everything.
Right? That's a converted groupie.
Converted. We have a professional in our midst here today in terms of podcasting and also an expert in terms of sales, Adam Urbanski, and his wife on their show. He refers to her as Curious Bo. I haven't got the story behind that, but I thought it was really cute.
Either way you say it will work, Urbanski. You know, it's so funny. I'm so used to saying it, like, how do you pronounce it? Urbanski, that I forgot how to say it actually in Polish, you know. That's why I say, Bo, how do we pronounce our last name?
Well, look, you're in for a real treat today. Our guest Adam built his first $1 million business in under 10 years, starting with only $194. That's $194. And a very limited ability to speak English. I would not
have
guessed that.
Which has not changed.
Today, Adam coaches over 100,000 service professionals and entrepreneurs on how to turn their business into an automated, client-attracting, money-making machine. Entrepreneurs from all over the world call him the Millionaire Marketing Mentor, and he's the go-to guy for professionals who want to grow their business, build their authority brand, attract more clients, increase sales, make more profits fast, and on, best-selling books, famous podcast series, interviews. I mean, usually I struggle, Adam, to get the background information for a guest that's going to be on the show. In your case, I didn't have time to read all the stuff that's available on social media about
Well, thank you.
You.
I appreciate it. This means our presidential propaganda is working at its best right now.
It is absolutely working at its best. Well, look, let's find out a little bit about you before we get into today's topic. Tell us about, what brought you to this business?
Oh, wow, to this business. Man, that is a loaded question. What does one even start with this? You know, so I used to be in the restaurant business, and about 2 or 3 years prior to selling the last store, we brought a consultant who got us into self-growth. And I was so fascinated by this whole process of, using your mind to control your reality, so to speak, that everything starts with your thoughts. That I thought, man, like, everybody has to understand this. So my original idea was, let's sell a restaurant business because I can't make enough impact there, and let's work with companies and let's help executives communicate better and teams be more productive. What I quickly realized were two things. Number one, I hated corporations because I was always a small business guy, so decisions are always made quickly, and you always make decisions in terms of, like, what's the best thing to do. And you work with larger companies, so you know that often decisions are made like, let me just cover my assets and hopefully I won't get fired.
I don't work with any companies that large, please. Some of them may be listening.
But they're more concerned about making the wrong decision than just rather than making a decision and moving forward. You know, they got like months-long meetings to make a decision.
Yeah, mature companies get to be risk adverse.
Yeah. 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 So that was one thing. And the second thing that I found out is actually my peers, colleagues who were trying to build their own professional practices had zero business background. They were, in the language of Michael Gerber, they were technicians or tacticians. But in terms of like strategic business thinking, they really never had an infrastructure build where they had to really pay expenses for location, build out a store, and think long term. How do I attract clients? How do I retain clients? And that's the expertise that I did have. We bought, grew, sold companies. So I thought, why don't we just help the entrepreneur folks? Because I can relate to them. I love it. So long story short, here I am.
Well, and I love consultants who have been in the trenches and started their own businesses and been through that. How do I make payroll this week? Yeah. And struggle. And you did extremely well in the restaurant business, if I remember the material.
We did very well. And again, part of it was, the company called Zappos?
Yes.
And I took a number of my clients on a Zappos tour a few times in the past, because Zappos, I call them like a Disneyland for entrepreneurs, at least before they sold to Amazon. It was fascinating to see the inside culture. Now, in the restaurant industry, you've got employees who are 16-year-old, 17, 18-year-old, right? And many of them will come for an interview and you ask them, why do you want to work here? And they'll say, my mom told me to get a job. Right? They're not very motivated. So Zappos is famous for putting their employees through like the first 6 weeks of training and then offering a payout if they don't want to work there.
I've read that, right? Yeah.
So I think that back in 98, 97, 98, we had a deal with our employees. So imagine a 60-year-old pimply kid comes to work for you, and we said, look, here's the deal. We're going to put you through a four-day training, which costs $400. Now, to them, it's like, oh, $400. Now, look, we're going to cover the training fee. Now, at the end of, after the four-day training, you're going to realize certain things about yourself, about our company, and you're going to either say, you know what, I'm going to work here, this is great, I'm going to love it, or you're going to say, you know what, fast food restaurant, this is not for me, I want to do something else. So if you choose to work for us, what will happen is you will owe us half of the $400, $200, and we're going to take it out of your paycheck like in $25 increments.
Okay. Right? Okay.
If you choose to, after the training, if you choose to go, that's great, you owe us nothing, we eat the $400, you're free to go. So, you know, what that resulted is employees who really became, and the training was, PSI, kind of like Landmark.
Okay.
Right? So essentially we put them through Landmark-like training. So imagine, you know, for a 16-year-old kid, that's really a big deal. It's like they all of a sudden become awakened, like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
They became a lot more involved in our company. They start taking initiative. And to me, I always looked at an employee that age, and I had two responsibilities to them. Number one, to help them realize they didn't work for me, they work for themselves. And number two, that they have a power to make a difference in someone's life. So we had, you know, a pissed off customer that spilled coffee on the shirt and the bagel wasn't done the right way, and they were all like, you know, possessed by demons. And here's a 16-year-old kid looking going like, you know, look, I know you've got a bad day. Is there any way I can make it better? And the person instantly stops, goes like, whoa, you know, I'm sorry I've been, you know, not nice to you. And yeah, you know, it's like they have a power to change someone's day rather than being influenced by someone's bad day. So I think that make a big difference now in our business. We treated our fast food restaurant as, you know, white tablecloth business.
Okay. All right. So that's kind of what got you to what you're doing today. But I'll tell you honestly, I'm not entirely clear. I wouldn't want to have to explain what it is you do to the audience without
Neither
your help.
Would I.
It seems like there's some multi things going on here. So tell our audience, what do you do today? What is your business model now?
Yeah, so we primarily work with, this is a very good point. We have actually three types of audiences. So the one of the audiences is professionals who, mainly coaches, consultants, who are passionate about making a difference, but they couldn't attract clients if a life depended on it. So we train them how to build a marketing system, how to turn the passion into a marketing message and turn it all into a machine that systematically, consistently provides them with leads and clients. So that's okay. The first level of training is our Attract Clients Like Crazy program. The second level of training.
Can I stop you as we go through it? Is this a one-on-one training or is this a group training? Is this an online training? How do you do
this? It's all group, and we primarily, all of our trainings are structured in a very similar way, where the training part is pre-recorded.
Yeah.
And part of it is just audio, part of it is audio and slides. Some of the trainings are actually kind of like sitting in the workshop where you see actually me, and we either have a whiteboard or just me talking to them on screen, walking them through the concept. So the core training is pre-recorded.
Okay.
And then all of our trainings are funneled to pretty much just once a week coaching call where we coach people in a group format.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you for explaining.
Yeah.
So that's one of your three legs.
So one of the legs is you have people that just need to learn how to market. The second leg is people that now they've got some business going on and they want to create a little bit more leverage. So they're looking at replicating what we've done, offering group approaches, or even in solo environment, but they've grown beyond just attracting clients. They realize they really provide transformational services and they want to be compensated appropriately. So we call it our big ticket sales machine. And we essentially teach them how to take whatever they do and package it in such a way that it can be sold for more money to a higher end clientele.
And same kind of method for training.
Same method.
All right, perfect.
Oh, that's and then the last, yeah.
So that's the second. So what's
and
the third?
And the last one is really the highest level of folks. And we call it our Masters Forum. And at that level, I don't know if you're familiar with Guy Henricks.
No, I'm not.
Guy Henricks wrote a couple of books. One book is called The Five Wishes. Fascinating book. One of my favorite books is about guys who don't do small talk and how they start talking about, you know, have you lived, have you loved type of messages at the party. Loved it. But there's one book he calls The Leap, and I forget the subtitle. But it's essentially about hitting the upper limit. You know, like every human being is at some point has a thermostat installed in him.
Okay.
And I guess the best example would be Bill Clinton. You know, achieved greatest success to president, and then he screws it up with Monica Lewinsky and almost gets impeached. So every single person has a thermostat. It's financial, it's relationship, it's kind of how good can you take it before you screw it up. Okay. So at some point where you achieve certain level of mastery, it's really hard to just being coached by one coach, because you're sort of outgrown that coach. So a mastery form is people that really are doing well, at least multiple six figures in personal revenue, seven figures, eight figure businesses, and they want to come together and just kind of diamond sharpen the diamond type environment, have conversations, explore what's next, where are they hitting the upper limit. You know, these are the guys who are the gurus and the experts to their clients, but where do we go to get our ideas? Where do we go to sharpen, to grow?
So to overcome that sort of self-limiting thought process,
yep,
that we all have kind of built in.
Yep.
I'm as busy as I can be. I'm as good, yep, as I can get, kind of thing.
Well, you know, it's not just that, but at a certain level, you grow to a level of success where not normal becomes normal. Right?
I mean,
think about it. Only if you are, I think, earning about something like $150,000, $250,000 a year and you're 5% population. If you over $400,000 a year, you're in 1% population. So chances are that people that you encounter in every day, they don't understand your reality. They don't have the same problems. So if you start talking about earning six figures or seven figures a month, they kind of go like, what the hell are you talking about? This is not a normal person's problem. So the master's form is really about normalizing the not normal. When you start having conversations about achieving certain results in life and in business, taking certain trips, enjoying certain luxuries, to an average person, that is not normal. And that creates a lot of guilt, and that lowers that, you know, that threshold of what's your limit.
Okay.
What's your upper limit?
You know, I don't want to get political here, but I mean, to me, this was one of the most interesting things that came out of the election that we just finished, was the fact that Trump, whether you like him or don't like him, had his own image of what he was capable of and didn't let it be influenced by anybody else, and did things in an unorthodox way.
That's so true.
You know, and to me, that was an amazing lesson. I don't know that I want to call him my role model, but was an amazing lesson about the ability to have confidence in what you can do. And that's what I hear you kind of saying about your master's
group. Yeah, that's so true. And you know, it's funny because we just did a training for our clients and we talked about eight lessons to learn from the presidential campaign. And one of them was Trump's ability to strategically position himself as a I don't really care kind of guy. And, you know, he upset it pretty much. I call him the equal opportunity insulter. You know, if you have a spine and you can fog up a mirror, chances are you were insulted by Trump in some way, shape, or form. You know, his persona is that he can absorb it and he actually thrive on that type of that type of characteristic rather than being crushed by it.
There is a question we have asked every guest that's been on the radio show.
Uh-oh.
Ever. We've had no duplicate answers. I'm crossing my fingers here. What is your guiding principle? What is it that, what's your true north? What is it that absolutely holds you together, consistent, balanced, no matter what you're doing, where you're doing it?
You know, I think it definitely...
Besides Bo here.
Right? Besides Bo, that's definitely my North Star. You know, I think if you asked me that a few years ago, it would have been different. But today, I think it's compassion.
Compassion.
I'm striving for compassion. And number one, I'm the guy who beats myself the hardest. So I had to learn compassion for myself.
Oh.
And number two, it's, you know, because of that, it's compassion for other people. And just to kind of illustrate what I mean, you know, we just did our live event and we looked at our binders and Bo said, you like, what did you say, Picasso or Van Gogh? He said, you've got like color periods, because we look at our binders and it's like we've got a green period, an orange period, and a red period, and a blue period in terms of our materials. But the funny thing is that about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I kind of called it my angry Adam period. So people would come to our live events and they would stand up in front of a microphone and ask questions and ask for kind of impromptu coaching. And man, I would rip them to shreds. I would be so insulting and so abusive. And you would think that, you know, you do it to one person and no one else gets up to the microphone and wants to ask a question.
Oh, they're done.
Well, the reverse is true. You're ripping one person to shreds in front of an entire audience, in front of, you know, 100 people in the room, and then the line becomes 20 people deep. I'm like, what's going on? This is fascinating. But it wasn't their need to be abused. It was my need to abuse. So someone would step up to the microphone and said, Adam, I live in a dungeon, and I would like to move from the dungeon and live on a ground floor. How would I do that? And I would tell me a little bit more. And as they utter the first two sentences, I would go, oh, my God. You live in a dungeon, but you live in a, you know, in a 50-story skyscraper. Let me take you out of the dungeon, and let me take you to the loft, because that's where you belong. And people go like, well, no. I just want to go to the ground floor. And this is where I would turn into this abusive guy, because my need was for them to be, you know, on the 50th floor in a penthouse. And I'll be like, what, are you stupid? You don't get it, da-da-da-da-da. So the fascinating part is that it wasn't about them, it was about me, and I had to learn that it's all about compassion. You know, if you want to get out of the dungeon into the ground floor, great, let's get you there. And once you're there and you kind of, you know, recognize the lay of the land and you want to get to the first floor then or second, fine, let's take you there. But it's about where you want to be and about what's important to you, not where I need to take you.
You know, if I had known how to frame the question, that's exactly the question I wanted answered here today. The fear that I had in having you on the show is you are so intimidating to me because you're going to talk about a multi-million dollar business, about growing your business, doing all of these things. And I'd like to grow my business, but I'd like to grow it a little bit. I don't want to put in the effort to grow it too big. I don't want to be on the top floor. I'd like to move up two floors, not 20 floors.
And that's perfectly fine.
And I have been in contact with so many motivational people, sales-oriented people, who don't understand what you just said. They are so used to going for the top that they don't see the need of the client, the need to identify where does the client want to go, what's your comfort level. Let's get you there. Yeah. Once you're comfortable, then maybe you'd like to move up a couple more floors. That's kind of what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
Is that?
It's exactly what it is.
You know? So that's great.
So, you know, if I can hijack the conversation for a moment, it's fascinating what you just shared about the intimidation factor, because it goes both ways. And I used to share a story in our programs from the, you know, my kids were little at some point, so they watched the Bambi like 50 times.
Yeah.
And there is a scene in Bambi where little Bambi is on the clearing of a forest, of the edge of the forest, and there's a clearing in there, and Bambi is peeking from the forest, and she sees the great deer, you know, with great antlers and just so mature. And then there's the thought process of both. You know, and first, there's Bambi going like, wow, look at this great deer, you know, so mature, so established, so experienced. Man, I could learn so much. You know, about surviving in the forest and in the wilderness and avoiding hunters. But I'm just a little, you know, a little Bambi here. Why would that gray deer ever want to talk to me? And then there is a switch and the gray deer goes, wow, look at that little youngling, you know, picking from the trees. So young and fresh and unjaded and energetic. Wow, it could teach me so much about life and youth and just new energy and new ideas. But you know, I'm just old, washed out deer. Who am I for them to want to talk to me? So this is kind of a mutual, you know, intimidation factor, because I look at you, I'm like, look at this guy, has so much experience and coached much larger companies. And, you know, you've been coaching when I was still in diapers.
Hey.
In a respectful kind of way. But just wanted to highlight that, because I think a lot of people have that thought process where they're afraid to ask for help or reach out to people because they think, well, who am I? They wouldn't want to talk to me. Where in reality, I think people that have truly accomplished something, and it doesn't have to be spectacular, you don't have to be Trump in terms of like billionaire success.
Right.
But if you've accomplished something that you're proud of, you love sharing about this.
And everybody has some accomplishments.
Absolutely.
That we are all impressed with. Yeah. Great point. Well, look, that's a great kickoff, but we're going to do a commercial first, and then we'll be right back and continue this.
Sounds good.
We've got Adam Urbanski here today talking to us about sales, and we've gotten to know him a little bit in the opening of the program here. So let's launch into the topic. The topic is the platinum effect, how to turn a single presentation into a million-dollar coaching or consulting business. That's a big statement, Adam.
It is.
Can you deliver on that?
I don't know. We'll do our best, right? I mean, it's all easy in theory. It's an implementation where things really happen. You know, I think it's like probably the first question people want to know, like, what's the platinum effect, right?
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I know personally, and I think it's true for a lot of service professionals, we tend to be very creative perfectionists. So we end up creating something like, you know, without an end in sight, because we want it perfect. We want to make it better and better and better. And then as soon as it's kind of created to the level of satisfaction, we get bored with it and move on to the next idea and start developing the next idea. And I thought about how do musicians create platinum records?
Oh, interesting.
Well, they don't write a song, go to a local coffee shop, sing in front of 20 people and go like, oh, okay, some people liked it, some people hate it. All right, let me go home and write another song and I'll come back later. You know, come back later with another song. You know, and again, some people love it, some people hate it. And they go back third week, same thing. They keep writing new songs, singing to the same audience. Instead, you know, they write one song and then they try to sing that song in front of as many audiences as possible. And it's the same principle in our businesses. So you ask earlier, you know, what programs we have. I have to take a step back because we've created so many over the years before I kind of realize, wait a second, you know, it's one program and then you have to take it to as many audiences as possible. And that's how you take your business platinum. That's how you take your record, your program, your singing, your song, your music to the platinum level.
Okay, let me call you on that. If I look at your Facebook page or your YouTube page, I get topics like the marketing plan, you are in two businesses, marketing tips one, beginning education, two, marketing equals education, marketing strategy, focus in business, faster, grow your business faster with three profit, blah, blah, blahs. How to work with your spouse. I don't know how that got in there. How to grow your audience, connect your tribe, sell out your programs using Facebook Live. How to launch a webinar that gets you known, build your list, attracts high-end clients. 13 marketing lessons smart. I mean, this goes on and on.
Yep.
It sounds like you've generated the opposite of what you said. It sounds like you've generated 50 different programs.
Not true. I know it can look like this, but not necessarily. So think about a conversation.
I'm not trying to embarrass you.
It's a perfect question. So think about it in terms of your own business, your own story. When you did your executive coaching.
Yes.
And you did radio shows. Did you interview people on the same topic every week?
No.
But what was the purpose of the interview?
The purpose of the interview? Well, to get to know the people and get them to share their knowledge and experience.
But also potentially to express interest in coaching with you, right?
Yes.
So you had one offer, one program, but your topics, your interviews were different. So someone looking from the outside will go like, well, what does Doug really do? He's talking about all sorts of different things, interviewing all sorts of different people. So for us, all these topics are like attention getters. They're opening of a conversation, right? Because on any given day, any entrepreneur will have a number of different issues. Some will go like, how do I work with my spouse? Some will be just searching like, what marketing mistakes should I avoid? Some will be searching, how do I get my first client? So these topics allow us to grab their attention. But once they come to us, then we funnel them towards one thing. So for example, funnel them to a webinar. And a webinar, like at this point, we pretty much run two different webinars. One webinar would run them towards a presentation, would introduce them to the idea of our Track Lines Like Crazy program, 7-step marketing method, and offer them to join that course. And another webinar would introduce them to invitation to a consultation with us, and from that would introduce them to our Big Ticket Sales Machine course. So we have two offers that we go platinum with, but there are different openings.
Okay.
So in a way, let me actually do another example.
All right. You can see the confusion on my face here.
So maybe another way would be to look at this. We have two programs, which will be our like flagship songs that everybody wants to listen to.
Right.
But when we get invited on a radio show, they don't want us to just go and talk about that song or sing the song. They want to talk about, well, who was Adam? Where did Adam come from? So all of these articles are kind of different topics that give people a sample of what we are like. What can we possibly talk about? What's our background? What's our business experience? And from those topics, we then, if you like this, then hey, let's introduce you to our flagship song.
Okay, so if I, let me rephrase it to see if I understand. So what you're saying is that the offering you have is limited to a couple of things, presentations or getting clients.
Mm-hmm.
The method that you use to do that, 50 different things can be used to get to either one of those objectives.
Correct.
And when I look at the list on your social media sites, all of those programs are just tools that you are sharing to reach the one or two common objectives, which is the core of your business.
Yeah. You want to get attention.
Okay.
Once we get attention, then we can start guiding them towards where we want them to go.
Okay. So,
but you know, it's actually a very interesting thing that you pointed out because... And you said, I don't want to embarrass you. In a way, it is embarrassing.
I didn't mean it to be.
But, well, it's a problem of a business that grows over a period of time. So, like some of these articles, we probably should actually pull because they're no longer relative to what we do. When newer practitioners start a business, they always think, they would look at somebody like me and go, wow, look at this guy's got 50 articles, right? And I would actually say, you know what? I would probably hide all those 50 articles and just have one opt-in page with one offer, and that's a faster way to succeed than having too many distracting messages.
Okay, so there's one of the, not the first, but there's a real key tip that you're sharing with the audience, is to really get clear on what the offer is that you're making to the audience.
Yes, and you and I know it's easy to give somebody that tip, get clear, but when someone gets started, they kind of go like, well, what is my one offer? How do I get clear? So a second tip to that would be just start doing a bunch of things, and you will realize a couple of lessons out of that. One, you will recognize what attracts people to you, which one of the messages actually sticks, and two, you will start realizing which message you enjoy sharing the most. And hopefully there will be a match, and you go like, "This is my thing that I want to go platinum with."
Well, and I think, you know, if you enjoy doing it, you're probably better at it than the thing that you don't enjoy doing. So you ought to drop the other one.
Or you will get better. Or you will get even better. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Taking it back to your record example, once you've got this clear offer, rather than constantly revising the offer. I mean, not that you would never revise it,
mm-hmm.
but what I hear you saying is experiment with finding different audiences to share this song with.
Correct.
Is that what?
Correct. So let's make it practical.
Okay.
Right? It might make more sense. So again, like our Track Lines Like Crazy program, this is something we developed in 2005. This is now 2016. We are still selling the same program. Modified, tweaked, but it's still the same foundation. The foundation, it's still the same same chassis, right?
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, we found different ways to drive audiences. So, for example, there were a couple of years that I would be very busy speaking. And you know, I would travel and get a 60-minute, 90-minute speaking engagement, and I'll be permitted to extend an invitation to an audience to invest in that course, right?
Okay.
So, again, I was one program, I was in front of different audiences. There were a couple of years where we got really big into strategic alliances or joint venture partnerships, where I would host one preview, like I would be on one radio show, on one virtual stage every week with a different promoter. So a different promoter was putting on a concert for me to come and show up, deliver my preview song, and then say, if you want a whole album, why don't you join the program? Today, we use paid advertising because we found a way that, you know, we can put a dollar in and we get multiples of a dollar back out of the machine. But again, it's finding a different audience to show them that preview and then invite them to the main concert.
You know, you bring up an interesting point in that I think it is unique in the very recent time. Let's say in the last 10 years is too long, something less than 10 years, that the impact of social media, the impact of the way in which we can talk to prospects demands that you are constantly changing how you get to the prospect. Not so much the message, but how you're getting to them. I mean, you've given a number of examples. Speaking.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a book. You know, you've got podcasts. You've got paid advertising. You've got alliances. You know, all of those are different ways that to some extent were maybe dictated by what was the technology available.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I laugh when people say there is no opportunity today, or it's really hard to get started. I'm like, you know, back in the day, to record something like what we are doing today would be almost unthinkable. I mean, it was the equipment was so complicated. Today, someone can press a button on the computer and start recording the show. Right? Today,
don't tell the producer that, really.
Not at the same level, right? Then you've got to have distribution and so on. But you think about putting it, you know, before you to go on a TV station to have a program, it was like a big investment. Today, someone can start a channel on YouTube, and they essentially have the same power as any big network. I mean, there are YouTube stars out there that have bigger audiences every single week than some of the series on TV.
There are people that I follow that I am so impressed with what they've accomplished that I have to keep track of them. There is a girl that is now a college freshman who does a YouTube book review for teens and creates an Instagram and uses all the other social media that has thousands and thousands of followers. When she posts something on Instagram, within an hour, she's got 8,000 people have posted on it. Okay. And this is a college freshman who is just using a tool that she's working out of her house or her dorm or wherever she does it. And I'm so impressed with that ability, you know, and yet I see business people trying to keep marketing the same way they've been marketing for 20 or 30 years.
That's so true. So true. And when I speak to business consultants who, for example, run their advertising agencies, they talk about this is one of the hardest things to break to entrepreneurs or business owners who are more traditional, to look at social media as a powerful marketing tool. They just you know, it's hard to measure, because sometimes you know, like on Instagram, how do you translate likes on Instagram into real business? Sometimes it's kind of hard to see that correlation and build the momentum. So they kind of go like, nah, would rather just, you know, buy a Yellow Page ad. And they don't realize that one is on the way out and another one is on the way in.
It's fascinating. So look, so when we're looking at tips we've given to the audience, we've talked to them about get clear on what your offer is.
Always.
You've talked about the fact that, you know, you are using attention-getting tools to attract people, to attract different groups of people to the same offer. Mm-hmm. Would that be valid?
Absolutely.
Okay. When you talked about, you know, how to turn a single presentation into a $1 million business, I immediately mentally jumped to, you're going to tell me how to repackage this presentation and sell it to the same people as something different. Mm-hmm. That's not what I hear you saying.
Not quite. So again, it's one program. So you have to have your main offer.
Yep.
And going platinum means you're putting this offer in front of different audiences.
Okay.
Right? So for example, well, let's just take our big ticket sales machine program, for example, right? So it teaches people how to leverage what they do and package it into an offer that can be delivered to many people at once. As a group coaching program, a group training or consulting, and sold for a higher dollar amount up front. So for example, let's say a coach would work with an individual and charge them, I don't know, $1,000 a month, right? And all they charge for is, I charge $250 an hour, and I work with people four times a month, so it's $1,000 a month fee. And instead, we teach them, you know what, you're not charging for time, you're charging for transformation. So what is the transformation that you deliver to your clients? Whether it's weight loss or relationship or business growth, can you translate that into a value that would allow you to ask for more money? So this 3,000, so 90-day program would be 3,000. We would ask, is it possible for you to charge $5,000 or $10,000 for the same amount of time, because you're no longer charging for time, but you're charging for the transformation, for the value. But anyway, that's just the program. That's the offer, all right?
Okay.
And now, so let's say that we would sell it for $5,000 to a client. How do we turn that program into a $1 million revenue stream? We start looking at, where is our audience? How do we get in front of them? And what is the process from getting them, you know, from hello to I am interested to I am in. I'm pausing. I'm just letting you catch up. Like, where do we go with this next?
Well, let me back. First, I don't want to rush past this point you made. You talked, and this is important for consultants, coaches and consultants, is that get off of the hour kick and instead sell the transformation that you're creating.
Yeah.
Which means you've got to know how to communicate that transformation, and you've got to be able to deliver that transformation so that you can then calculate the value that it has to somebody.
You know, I mean, this is such a vast topic. You know,
I know.
Learn it over a course of years and years and years, but
I don't have that much time.
We have to, it has to be emphasized. You have to know what problem you're going to solve, what value you're going to deliver, and the amount of time is irrelevant. It's can you deliver on it? And then the only way you can be certain that you can deliver on it, in my book, there are only two ways you can be certain you can deliver on it. Number one is you have a method, systematically can create predictable results. And number two, you only select the right client.
Ah,
because key point. You can, look, a Ferrari can go from 0 to 100 miles in 2.9 seconds, right? With an experienced driver, I put a 9-year-old in the front in the driver's seat. They can't take the car to that speed in that time. They're the wrong audience. And yet, consultants and all professionals, we're notorious for this. We'll be hungry for cash. We'll take anybody
who'll pay. We sign them up, and then they're disappointed.
And then we can't deliver the results because they were the wrong client. And very often, many professionals don't have a method to deliver. They wing it every single time. They reinvent the wheel.
You know, and this is—I mean, this goes back to the old saying: is there's some clients you can't afford to have.
So
you know,
true.
And most people tend to go to, well, they are too demanding. They aren't willing to pay. But you're adding the real dimension is they really aren't going to ever be able to execute what you are offering them.
Yeah, the right clients, you know, they pre-select themselves. So again, we've got a couple of programs we're running right now. Well, part of this Masters Forum and so on. So people are fascinated because it's not a cheap program to join for a year. It's actually very expensive. And people are fascinated by the fact that it takes us, you know, about 20 to 30 minute conversation for a client to say yes and you know, send us a large amount of money via check or wire transfer. And they get like, how is it possible? Because the materials we put in front of them clearly communicate who it's for and who it's not for. In fact, you know, the materials say this is not a sales package. This is a repellent package. You know, this is supposed to tell you, you know, that you are not the right person. And very few people will go like, I am the right person. And if you are the right person, by the time we get to have a conversation, it's not a conversation about selling you on value or convincing you or overcoming your objection. You already want in. We just want to kind of iron out the last few details. It's like, do I like you? Do you like me? Okay, let's dance.
A lot to think about there. I'm really.
Well, you know what? I want to come back to something.
All right.
And I forgot what was the exact point you've made, but it's about identifying what's that one thing you can do for people.
Right? Yes.
So again, I know a lot of practitioners, especially when they knew, but even people that are well established, they still kind of go like, what do I really do? What is the value? You know, I've coined this term that you want to talk your walk. You know, like you've heard it, the thing that people say,
I thought it was walk your talk.
It was, but we flipped it.
Okay.
It's talk your, because, you know, people would say something, you know, they really talk the walk. Or they really walk their talk.
Yeah.
Which means they've talked about something and then they went and did it.
Yes.
Right? And everyone's like, wow, look at this. So
amazing.
I see
nothing wrong with that. Sounds good to me.
Yes. But think about it. What if you've done something as a coach, consultant, advisor? What if you've done something and then you talked about and helped other people do the same thing? It's very different. Because the first means I'm going to teach some theory that I think works. And hopefully it works. And when I see it working, I'm going to apply it for myself. This is, look, they talk the walk. Versus if they, I'm sorry, this they see, I get lost in this myself.
No, I was with you.
This is when they walk their talk, right? Yeah. They've talked about it, then they actually do it.
Right.
But when they talk the walk, it means they've done it, and now they're teaching it.
See, which kind of goes back to what I really enjoyed about your background is that you are a consultant for business people who has run a successful business.
Yep.
So you walked what you're now talking about.
Yep.
Rather than the theoretical person
yep.
who writes the paper on how it should be and then goes out and tries to execute it.
It's
backwards. I never thought of it that
just
way.
Just this morning,
it is
someone
backwards.
Says, you know, what makes you qualify? Why should someone come to you? I said, you know, in terms of big tickets. And I'm like, look, I bought and sold businesses for a lot of money. I've sold license rights to my intellectual property in terms of how to run a restaurant business. So, you know, that's a big ticket item that had nothing to do with coaching and consulting. But, you know, I agree with you. And I think what robs people of confidence to really approach great clients is that they want to talk about theory and they worry about being discovered. Versus when you've done something, people can question you all they want. And you always can think, you know, it may be kind of like you asked about those articles. And it is confusing. And it is kind of like we should probably clean it up. But at the same time, I know how it fits into my business because, you know, we are working it. It's not something I just read in the book and go like, well, that's a good question. Got me there, Doug. You know? And that's what happens to people when they have a really hard time being confident and assertive with making their offers. So every single time in our business when we, and I kind of found this rhythm that your audience finds it fascinating when you do something, they want to learn how you've done this. So we have this rhythm, like we'll do something and then we go and teach about it. And as we teach one thing, meanwhile, we're doing some other things in the business. And then the rest of the world catches up and go like, how did you do that thing? You know, so for us, every single step of the way was like, first, how did you get your first clients? Well, let me teach you how I got my first clients. And then it was, well, now you've got info products. How did you do the info products? Well, let me teach you how you did the info products. And then it was, wow, you've got group programs. How did you do the group programs? Well, let me teach you how we did the group programs. And then it was like, wow, you charge a lot of money. How did you do that? Well, let me teach you how we put programs that sell for a lot of money. So every time we walked something, then we talked about it.
So let me get back. We've talked a lot about this here. What is it you do? Tell me succinctly, what is it? If I run a business, I want to grow my business. I've just been introduced to you. Adam, what would you do for me?
I'll make magic happen.
So I've just grabbed wallet. Audience can't see it. That.
I will answer that question in a moment. But, you know, this is the question that actually started my business. When I sold my restaurant and the restaurant business, and the first thing I would start doing is hit the local networking scene. And I'll be asked two questions, like, what can you do for me? And then why you? Now, look, I'm in my late 20s at that point. You know, I'll put a three-piece suit and gold watch and a gold ring, and I'd still be a 29-year-old stooge with a three-piece suit and a gold ring. That's like, and people would look for a consultant that looks more like you, right? Mature.
We're down to the gray hair.
But they were like, this guy looks like he's got something to deliver. I didn't look like a guy who could deliver. I was too young.
I hear you.
And I hated that. So I said, you know what? I'm going to create a system where people will come to me and beg me to do business with us without even knowing what the heck we do. And that's true. Today, we sell a $12,000 a year coaching program. People don't know until email number 7, which happens somewhere about 10 days after they've given us the money. And the email says, here's what you actually sign up for. They have no idea what they bought. By the way, most of the time, they've only heard me on a webinar. They never met me in real life. They never talked to me because they talked to one of our enrollment consultants. So it's like sight unseen, you know, never talked to me. We don't have a relationship. They give us a lot of money. They don't know what they bought.
But something motivated them to buy.
So what we sell is kind of whatever you want to look at, money in advance, more successful business. We will get you a client. We'll teach you how to take your passion, turn it into a real business. If you have a business, we'll show you how to take it and create, turn your actual business, what you do, into an actual machine that attracts clients. If you have that in place, we teach you how to leverage yourself so your business no longer depends on you trading time for dollars. So you see, there are stages. First, let's get you clients. Second, let's take what you do and create a system for getting clients. And then third, let's leverage your business to the point where it becomes your profit, wealth-generating machine that's automated.
Okay.
And I think what you continue to ask for is kind of like, show me, like, how do you do this? This is what people typically ask. And they think that the customer actually wants the response, how do you do this? Like, well, I'm going to coach with you.
They really don't. They want to know, what problem are you going to solve for me? And you just very clearly outlined that. Three things. You're going to show me how to get clients. You're going to develop a system once I've got clients for perpetuating that.
Yep.
And then you're going to show me how to leverage what I've got into making even more money and exposing it to more audiences.
That's it.
I love it. great.
Oh,
look,
man, I was sweating here at the stall to come up with this.
I'm sorry. I must say, I'm having a slow day. You're having to talk slower.
I'm loving it. Thank you.
Hey, look, we're getting ready to wrap up here, so I want to be sure that we've covered what you wanted to cover. What else do you want to share with our audience before we wrap this up?
I think we pretty much nailed it. You know, if anything, if I could bring just one final example to illustrate what I mean, that you take one message and one presentation and turn it into a seven-figure business. Because kind of, I know it's confusing. It's a big promise, right? So again, let's take one of our courses, Attract Clients Like Crazy. 1 year, we brought over seven figures doing 50 webinars a year.
Okay.
Now, the webinar is the same webinar. Every week, we had a different partner that introduced us to their audience.
Oh.
All right, so it's the same webinar.
So you shifted audiences.
That's it.
So
this is one
song.
So this
is the singer with the platinum song.
Exactly.
Going from cafe to cafe singing.
Exactly.
To a different audience.
Or on a different radio station, right?
Okay.
Or a different stadium filled with audience. So every single week, we looked for somebody that had an audience to put in a stadium, and we just showed up and sang the song, and at the end said, hey, buy the whole album. So that's just one example. By the way, we developed this 8 years ago. I'm using the same presentation today. And out of 100 people that show up for that webinar, 33 convert into customers. 8 years later, the same song. That's what I'm talking about. You create one thing and you leverage it over and over and over and over. And your creativity needs to be used into how do I attract more people to that message, not into how do I create another program and another message, because creating doesn't pay. It's the selling that pays.
Key point. I mean, if you're in the audience listening to this, it's not perfecting the program and constantly changing it and never being satisfied. It is how many people can you expose your already good idea to?
Yep.
How does somebody get in touch with you? I mean, they're going to be ready to sign up and want to know
Absolutely.
About these three programs. How do they get in touch with you? How
Just,
do they find you?
Go to Google and type in God, and I'm going to come up. And then I wake up, right? No, just themarketingmentors.com, themarketingmentors.com.
Themarketingmentors.com. I'll put that
but
on the podcast.
Just other than that, just search Adam Urbanski, and I should come up. Or Adam Urbanski Marketing, I should come up. Find me on social media. Facebook is my playground. I love being there. So connect with me, say hello, send me a message. I love it.
Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook Live.
All of those things.
All of them. You're on them all. Adam, it has been a pleasure having you on the show today. I really appreciate you taking the time to join us. I want to welcome you to the Coaching Perspective Radio community.
Thank you for having me. It's
now
been a pleasure.
Part of. Well, look, I hope that you've enjoyed the show today. If you're listening to our podcast, then I want to thank you for visiting our website, thecoachingperspective.com. While you're there, be sure to check out our archives for other shows with equally good guests, or almost as good, whatever, maybe better, who knows. And speaking of guests, if you'd like to be on the show, we're always looking for coaches, CEOs, and HR professionals to interview. Just send me an email, doug@thecoachingperspective.com. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the show today, that the discussion has provided you with some new ideas and information that, as Adam puts, you can put to use immediately to identify and achieve your goals. It's all in the execution. Have a great evening.
You've been listening to the one show that takes a look at business from a different perspective, The Coaching Perspective, with Master Certified Business Coach Doug DeFeller.